Welcome back, everyone, to Coffee Talk 3.0. I'm Kevin Barbaro, and you're listening on talk radio network stations around the country, and we are broadcasting from the flagship studios here at TalkingAlternative.com with the lovely Janice and my buddy Sam, as usual. I'm going to fill up the show today, Sam. Filling it up, baby. We're actually going to follow up on the discussion last week about Baltimore, because I did have a couple of discussions regarding my broadcast from yesterday, the syndicated broadcast of it. So I'm going to bring up what we talked about with a couple of my friends. I'm going to talk about that. I'm going to be talking about, last week I was going to talk about a real life true crime situation that had happened in my family. And I'm also going to talk about, I met a cool dude today when I worked this morning, you know, for my buddy for the car service. And I picked up a guy who's a motivational speaker, and it was a very interesting ride. First, going to pay a little homage today, because my grandma passed last night at 96 years old. Her name is Eleanor Barbaro. Okay, now she was married to my grandfather, Michael Barbaro. When I was a kid, we actually lived with my grandparents for a long while, because my mom had gotten divorced, and there was a gap of like 2 or 3 years there before she got remarried. And so we lived at my grandparents' house. So my grandfather was like my hero. He kind of took me under his wing and when I was at a young age, because, you know, it was like I was the only boy, and I wanted to be like my grandfather so much when I was a kid that I made my mom comb my hair like my grandfather. Now my grandfather was losing his hair, so my whole life, you know, growing up, he was doing the comb over. Okay, so I was adamant as a kid that I needed to have the comb over, and that my mom had to use hair tonic. You look back at my kindergarten, first grade, second grade photos, and I'm rocking the comb over. They lived an interesting life. I'm going to talk about it for a second, because it's my grandfather, Michael Barbaro. His father lived to be 98, and I was saying earlier that I've had the unique distinction of having known someone that was born in the 1800s that I knew. He was born in 1880, died in 1978 at 98 years old. When I did the commercial for the scotch, for Laphroaig, the smoky scotch, in the commercial, I said, it smells like my grandfather's house. And it really did smell like my grandfather's house. My grandfather smoked cigars. So that was the smoky smell. And my great-grandfather made wine in the basement. Okay, so you smelled like this sweet smell of wine, and you smelled smoke. Really cool mixture of smoky sweetness, you know, when I was growing up. And it's a smell that I'll never forget, you know. You get so ingrained in your head, you know. And my great-grandfather, every time we'd go over there, and he spoke with a huge Italian accent. So even as a kid, I could only understand about like 25% what he was saying. So my grandfather and my grandma, who just passed, they were actually high school sweethearts. And when he passed away, they had been married. They had been married for 75 or 76 years. It's a long time, man. That was a long time. Matter of fact, interesting story about my grandmother. She became pregnant with my uncle in high school. Now, my grandfather was older than her. He liked the younger girls. He's passed that on, right? And so my grandma got pregnant in high school. Well, you know, this is 1930 something, man. You get pregnant in high school and you're gone. You can't attend high school anymore. So, and you got to get married. It's 1930 something, right? My grandfather, who was playing football, and he had to quit. He had to get married, you know? So he married my grandmother, and she was only like 17 years old at the time. And she gave birth to my uncle. Well, anyway, fast forward years later. So my grandmother never graduated from high school. They're retired, and they are living in Arizona. My grandmother decided that she wanted to get her high school diploma at the age of like, gosh, at that point she must have been in her late 50s, early 60s. She earned her high school diploma. But, you know, obviously we were going to miss her, but she lived, she lived a full life. And actually, my cousin Carol, she had hit me up on Facebook today. They actually had a very unique photo taken at Carol's daughter's wedding they had five generations of women. Now that's a really rare thing. It's rare for you to be able to put five generations family members in one photo. And it was, you can't get rid of us. I tell you, man, we're like Twinkies or something, man. I think it's a mixture. Well, we're Scotch, Irish, and Italian. Okay, so as I've said before, I made the comment that when you're Scotch, Irish, and Italian, that means that we'll drink you under the table, we'll beat you up, and we'll steal your girlfriend. But we'll make dinner for your grandma, right? Because we're Italian, right? And we just live forever, man. So anyway, yeah, you know, we're gonna have the ceremony this week, and it's gonna be nice to celebrate her life and to see, you know, the fruits of her life. You know, everybody coming together. You know, when I go to funerals, anytime somebody passes, you know, it's sad, but at the same time, like. I'm more of a positive, you know, let's celebrate the life that we had with the person. It's all about the memories that we make, and we'll see them on the other side, you know. And I made the comment today on Facebook, you know, they were high school sweethearts, and now they're reunited on the other side, you know what I mean? And somebody in my family, I can't remember who, was like, I feel bad for Grandpa Mike, you know, because let the ball busting begin. <you know? laughs> So anyway, getting to the other stuff I was going to talk about, right, with the Baltimore thing. So I ended up having a couple of interesting discussions about it, because I have, I think, a really objective view of the entire thing. And for people that had listened to last week's episode, you kind of got a sense of that, where, you know, I can see the bigger picture. I don't condone violence at any time, and I don't condone the looting, but I get it. I get where it comes from. Doesn't mean I agree with it, but I certainly get it, you know? So anyway, this person said to me, because I made a comment that's where I said, I don't think that everybody has the same opportunities. You know, people like to say kind of kumbaya, you know, well, if you work hard, you can, if they really wanted to, they could escape that, right? They can make their lives better. And I did say, I do think everyone has the ability to better their situation. I think that everybody can work hard and things like this, but I'm also a realist, and I know that some people, with no fault of their own, the chips are stacked against them, and they have to work five times as hard as the average person. So I made a comment to this person. I said, so what you're saying is that anybody who wants to work hard can do whatever they want. That you're going to make the statement that anybody, and the person said, yeah. I said, okay, that's interesting. I said, well, let me ask you this. Where did you go to college? And he said, well, I went to Kent State. And I said, well, why didn't you go to Harvard? And he said, well, I wasn't smart enough to go to Harvard. I said, so what you're saying is that you're admitting that the people that go to Harvard may intellectually be a little bit further down the road than you are. So you're saying that there's a difference between you and someone that goes to Harvard on an intellectual level. And he's like, well, yeah, I guess I'm kind of saying, I said, even take that off the table, right? Even take that off the table. Even though, as I said last week, there's a difference between your education depending upon which zip code you're born into, right? I said, say you could have gotten in, would you have gone? He's like, well, my parents never would have been able to afford it. And I said, so what you're saying is that the path that you chose in your life was determined upon your parents and their income. But what you're also trying to argue with me is that anybody can do anything they want and can overcome any situation. But yet at the same time, you're admitting that because of your lack of intelligence and your lack of money, you couldn't go to Harvard. Right. And end of conversation. Anyway, I'll be back in a minute. This is Kevin Barbaro. You're listening to Coffee Talk 3.0 on TalkingAlternative.com. Are you tired of gyms and fitness centers that offer only the same boring, mundane options? Are you looking for a new and exciting way to burn fat, gain strength, and improve your flexibility? Then ilovekickboxing.com is the place for you. My name is Kevin Barbaro, and I'm the host of the nationally syndicated radio show Coffee Talk 3.0, and I joined I Love Kickboxing 10 months ago, and it was the best decision I've ever made. In that time, I've lost 30 pounds, I've gained strength and flexibility, and the confidence that I need to move forward in my acting career. I'm nearly 45 years old, and I'm in the best shape of my life thanks to ILoveKickboxing.com. Go to ILoveKickboxing.com and find the location nearest you. Use the promo code COFFEE and receive 20% off the already low introductory price of $19.99. That's three visits and a pair of gloves. It's 1 hour of your day. It'll change your life forever. Believe me, trust me, I do it myself. ILoveKickboxing.com.
Hi, I'm Joan London. When I needed to find senior care for my mom, I really struggled to find the right fit until I found an advisor, someone who had been through this before. That's why I recommend A Place for Mom, the nation's largest senior living referral service. They have experts who will help you ask the right questions and find the right place. Call A Place for Mom today.
To speak with a local senior living advisor, call A Place for Mom at 1-800-274-6144. That's 1-800-274-6144.
A Place for Mom has helped over 200,000 families find the right senior care for their parents, from assisted living to independent living, even Alzheimer's care, and have local advisors that can help explain your options at no cost to you.
To speak with a local senior living advisor, call A Place for Mom at 1-800-274-6144. That's 1-800-274-6144.
Call today.
With most airlines, the most affordable flights are early morning departures. Getting to the airport at that hour can be problematic or even dangerous. I'm Kevin Barbro, the host of Coffee Talk 3.0. And listen, don't make your Uncle Ned wake up at 3 a.m. so he can get you to the airport on time and not pay for parking. Call S&G Limo at 516-771-LIMO and have affordable, courteous, safe transportation right to your terminal. S&G Limo has branches and affiliates all over the country and can arrange 24/7 service to all major airports. By calling 516-771-LIMO, you can save time and money. And on your return, S&G Limousine will be there patiently waiting for you on your arrival. No more standing in line for a cab. They'll pick you up at curbside and get you home safely. That's S&G Limo, 516-771-LIMO, 516-771-LIMO, or go to coffeetalkradio.com. Welcome back to Coffee Talk 3.0. I'm Kevin Barbro, and you're listening on Talk Radio Network stations around the country, and we're broadcasting from TalkingAlternative.com. If you want to check out the archives or check out the podcast of this episode at a later time, go to CoffeeTalkRadio.com. At CoffeeTalkRadio.com, you can check out all of our sponsors and get some great deals and some discounts from businesses around the country. Now, getting back to the discussion about Baltimore and the discussion I was having with the friend of mine, in which case they really didn't have a whole lot to say. But one other comment that I did make to the person was that, you know, you have to realize also, first of all, unless you're filthy rich, you are a lot closer to the poverty line than you are to being a millionaire. And so, you know, you can't, you've got to, everything is relative, right? And one thing that I said was, because the person also said to me, this was a separate conversation. I was having another conversation with somebody about basically the same thing. And they said, well, I've seen examples all the time of people who have, you know, there's this guy who's who came out of poverty to become a Navy SEAL and et cetera, et cetera. I said, I get that. I understand that there are examples of people that have risen up out of the ashes and made some, but you're talking about an extraordinary situation. Why does somebody from a neighborhood like that have to be extraordinary to have even a decent life, right? They got to be extraordinary. Whereas, like, I growing up in a middle-class neighborhood with a nice school system and et cetera, I don't even need to be extraordinary. I can be completely ordinary and have a better life than somebody from the inner city. I know a whole lot of people that are complete underachievers that have great lives. I got a couple of friends that are total, they can't even get out of their own way. They're such an underachiever. And yet they have a better financial life than I do. You know, they're in a situation where they were born into a situation where they could completely be mediocre at best, on a best day be mediocre, and their life is charmed. Go to that neighborhood in Baltimore and tell me what you think the life of an underachiever in that neighborhood is like. That's all you know as you're growing up. You don't know anything other than what's around you. I was constantly hanging out with the wrong people. I was constantly doing just dumb stuff. I even have the distinction of having been shot at. Okay? This is a good story. So, a quick aside. I have always had this ability to make trick shots. To my own demise, I've been able to make trick shots, right? Like, for some reason, I can throw a rock, I can throw a baseball, I can throw almost anything, and I can hit moving targets, or I can hit little tiny, like, we'd be in the wintertime and say a store across the street, and this was a funny thing, like, as a coach, that I would always kind of pass the time, right? So say there's like an electrical box on the fourth floor of a building across the street, I can hit that pop, 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 right? And because I can just hit these ridiculous, I can figure out the space and the distance, right? So even to the point where like for instance, one time my buddy Kenny and I, he was my main partner in crime as a kid, we were at the sand pits in our town, right? And I'm at the sand pits and there's a road that goes uphill from the sand pits. And we saw this car coming and Kenny goes, I bet you can't hit that car with a rock. And I'm like, I can hit it, right? Pick up a rock. Dude, I'm telling you, I don't know exactly how far away, but I'm pretty far away, right? And I'm up about 50 feet or so. The car is moving on an angle, on a hill, right? Coming up the hill. And I'm watching it, kind of gauge it, and whoop, I let the rock fly. Dude, I'm telling you, as sure as I'm sitting here right now, bam, right through the passenger side window, right? So we start hauling it, man, you know? We're running through the woods, you know, this guy's like chasing us, we're down. We had to hide in like this, we had to run through a manure-filled pasture because we're in the country, and I had to hide in a stream of cow crap, right? So get away from this guy that I'd hit. So another time, right? So I'm like the king of trick shots, right? Another time, I'm at the mall because we'd always go to the mall, right? There's this kid from another school that we didn't like. We were kind of picking on him or whatever. This kid, I'm telling you, he was about probably 80 feet away from me-ish, maybe even a little bit further, right? I had a spice drop, okay? You know what spice drops are, right? It's a candy. It's like a gummy thing with it's covered with sugar, right? So I had a little spice drop. And same guy, Kenny, goes, I bet you can't hit. Because everybody would always be like, I bet you can't do this, bet you can't do that. I bet you can't hit that kid with a spice drop. I'm like, I can hit that kid with a spice drop. I fire the spice drop at it, right? Wham! I hit this kid right in the eye. I mean, dude, you can't, a sniper couldn't have pulled it off better. So then we're running away, right? And fast forward, I meet that kid's sister, and she almost beats me up like about 6 months later, right? Oh, God. Anyway, different story. So getting to the point where I got shot at was because of the my skills. So we had a cornfield in our town. And this cornfield in our town was on both sides of the road leading into the town. It was a two-lane road, but you can go 55 miles an hour heading into the town, right? So we'd go into the cornfield, and the first, like, say, 10 rows of the cornfield are parallel to the road, and then they go perpendicular to the road heading back to the back of the cornfield because that's how the plow goes, right? That's how the tractors go, okay? So we go into the cornfield just inside the line of rows that are parallel to the road, and we make a little fort, but you can't see it from the road. We would hear a car coming, we'd take a look up, and it was over an embankment. I had it timed so perfectly, right, that I could launch a corn cob, right? I could launch it from the middle of this cornfield up over the power lines, and I could hit a car on the fly 55 miles an hour, right? So we're in there, and so we do it, and we're doing it all the time. You know, as if not, it's not occurring to us. We live in a town of 400 people. Eventually, they're going to catch on when you see nothing but cornmeal on the highway, right? So so we're launching, right? And all of a sudden, wham, I hit one. And what would happen is they're going 55, so they would slam on the brakes. By the time, as soon as you hear the brakes hit, well, you start booking it for the back of the cornfield because we're running perpendicular to the road right down through the path between the stalks, right? And you can only do this when the stalks were high. And then we get back, and there was a crest in the field. We had all the physics figured out, man. There was a crest in the field so that, like, we could go up in a tree, and we can look, and the person wouldn't be able to see us because of the crest of the field, right? So we do this a couple of times. So anyway, this one time, I see a green Jeep coming. Green Jeep pickup truck. I time it. Whoo, let it fly. Wham! Hits it. They hit the brakes. We start running to the back of the cornfield. All of a sudden, we're almost to the back of the cornfield, and we hear, pew, pew, pew. This dude is in the back of his pickup truck with a rifle, like a .22, and he's shooting. I don't, he doesn't even know what he's shooting at, but he's shooting at us, man. So he gets shot. So here's the level of reasoning skills that I had as a kid when I talk about not being able to get out of my own way, right? We still go back. You would have thought that after the time you got shot at, right, that you would stop going. We still went back, right? So the next time we go back, which is like only a couple of days later, right? Same guy, me and Kenny, right? We're in there. Wham, the first car we hit, right? Wham, it hits the brakes. And then all of a sudden, I'm telling you, out of nowhere, all of a sudden you hear, you hear all these cars stopping all at once. We didn't even have the opportunity to start running yet. You know, we heard the brakes, but then it was all of a sudden there was like 8 or 9 cars there, just like that. It was the state troopers. They were waiting for us, right? And we're belly down, yeah, in the cornfield, right? And we're like, you know, I'm sweating bullets, you know what I mean? And you can hear walkie-talkies going, right? And you can, I can look through, because, you know, they can't see me because obviously they didn't get the whole physics behind it like we did. I can see them because if you're at the base of the corn stalks where there's no leaves and no corn, all you're looking at is a stick, and you can see forever, right? All they had to do was bend down, right? Just one of those cops were to bend down and take a look, they'd have been able to find us. But they weren't smart enough to figure it out. They're just kind of combing through the corn. You can only see 6 inches in front of your face, you know what I mean? So we ended up making it to the back of the cornfield. We had to run. We were in shorts. First of all, I had like a gazillion paper cuts from the leaves. Then we ran through raspberry bushes, which are thorny, to this river, and we had to walk up the river. When we got up the river, we could look back down, and there was like 10 state troopers there. There was like a search party for us, you know what I mean? Some people, trouble just finds you, man. And I'm one of those dudes. I mean, luckily I broke out of it because of athletics, you know, but that's me. And I tell you, there's a lot of me's out there. It doesn't matter. It's not a genetic trait, right? It happens in every neighborhood. There's guys like me, and I got away with it, but some people don't, you know what I mean? Some people can't break out of it. So anyway, I'll be back in a minute to finish up on that thought. I'm Kevin Barbaro, and you're listening to Coffee Talk 3.0. Are you tired of gyms and fitness centers that offer only the same boring, mundane options? Are you looking for a new and exciting way to burn fat, gain strength, and improve your flexibility? Then ilovekickboxing.com is the place for you. My name is Kevin Barbaro, and I'm the host of the nationally syndicated radio show Coffee Talk 3.0, and I joined I Love Kickboxing 10 months ago, and it was the best decision I've ever made. In that time, I've lost 30 pounds, I've gained strength and flexibility, and the confidence that I need to move forward in my acting career. I'm nearly 45 years old, and I'm in the best shape of my life thanks to ilovekickboxing.com. Go to ilovekickboxing.com and find the location nearest you. Use the promo code COFFEE and receive 20% off the already low introductory price of $19.99. That's 3 visits and a pair of gloves. It's 1 hour of your day. It'll change your life forever. Believe me, trust me, I do it myself. ilovekickboxing.com.
Hi, I'm Joan London. When I needed to find senior care for my mom, I really struggled to find the right fit until I found an advisor, someone who had been through this before. That's why I recommend A Place for Mom, the nation's largest senior living referral service. They have experts who will help you ask the right questions and find the right place. Call A Place for Mom today.
To speak with a local senior living advisor, call A Place for Mom at 1-800-274-6144. That's 1-800-274-6144.
A Place for Mom has helped over 200,000 families find the right senior care for their parents, from assisted living to independent living, even Alzheimer's care, and have local advisors that can help explain your options at no cost to you.
To speak with a local senior living advisor, call A Place for Mom at 1-800-274-6144. That's 1-800-274-6144.
Call today.
Welcome back to Coffee Talk 3.0. I'm Kevin Barbaro, and you're listening on what the heck are we listening on? Talk radio network stations around the country and talkingalternative.com. And talking about my troublemaking days, hello. Anyway, so getting back to the original point, which was that I had a second conversation with somebody because they were. It was actually, you know, the prosecutor had brought the charges against the six officers that they felt were responsible for Freddie Gray's death. Okay, and in the discussion, the person was talking about, well, why would he run? You know, because the entire story was that Freddie Gray actually saw a police officer. They made eye contact, and Freddie Gray started running. The police officer started chasing after him, okay? And this is how the whole thing started. He was running from the cops. And somebody said, well, he basically alluding to the fact, insinuating that he got what he deserved because he was running from the cops. And one thing that people need to understand is it's not against the law to run from the cops. Now, if you've done something wrong and they can prove that they were legally trying to arrest you, okay, then you can be charged with a resisting arrest or evading police or something along these. But I'm, as a law-abiding citizen, if I see the cops and I turn around and I start running, I'm perfectly within my rights to do that. I can run from anybody. They have no reason to stop me, you know? So, and the Supreme Court has said that running from the police is not against the law, and it's not something arrestable. Just because somebody runs doesn't mean they did anything wrong. But then the person said, well, why would you run if you hadn't done anything wrong? And so I said, well, I got an analogy for that too, okay? Anyway, I'll be back here in just a moment. I'm Kevin Barbaro. You're listening to Coffee Talk 3.0. Are you tired of gyms and fitness centers that offer only the same boring, mundane options? Are you looking for a new and exciting way to burn fat, gain strength, and improve your flexibility? Then ilovekickboxing.com is the place for you. My name is Kevin Barbaro, and I'm the host of the nationally syndicated radio show Coffee Talk 3.0, and I joined I Love Kickboxing 10 months ago, and it was the best decision I've ever made. In that time, I've lost 30 pounds, I've gained strength and flexibility, and the confidence that I need to move forward in my acting career. I'm nearly 45 years old, and I'm in the best shape of my life thanks to ilovekickboxing.com. Go to ilovekickboxing.com and find the location nearest you. Use the promo code COFFEE and receive 20% off the already low introductory price of $19.99. That's three visits and a pair of gloves. It's 1 hour of your day. It'll change your life forever. Believe me, trust me, I do it myself. ilovekickboxing.com.
Hi, I'm Joan London. When I needed to find senior care for my mom, I really struggled to find the right fit until I found an advisor, someone who had been through this before. That's why I recommend A Place for Mom, the nation's largest senior living referral service. They have experts who will help you ask the right questions and find the right place. Call A Place for Mom today.
To speak with a local senior living advisor, call A Place for Mom at 1-800-274-6144. That's 1-800-274-6144.
A Place for Mom has helped over 200,000 families find the right senior care for their parents, from assisted living to independent living, even Alzheimer's care, and have local advisors that can help explain your options at no cost to you.
To speak with a local senior living advisor, call A Place for Mom at 1-800-274-6144. That's 1-800-274-6144.
Anybody who's ever been on the interstate and you're driving your car, right? And all of a sudden you see up ahead a state trooper in the median. Everybody. There's not one person on the planet that doesn't hit the brakes and slow down. Every single person does. Even if you already know deep down you're going the speed limit. And you know what else everybody does? As you're passing that cop, you look in your side view mirror and your rear view mirror, and you're waiting to see if he pulls out. And then if he does pull out and he pulls up behind you, even though you know you haven't done anything wrong, you're nervous. Okay, you're nervous that you're going to get pulled over. Because it's a police officer, man. You know what I mean? And even though you're a law-abiding citizen and you're not breaking the law, you're worried that maybe you're imagining that you're breaking the law. Or you're, you know, all these scenarios are going through your head. And so then on top of that, to somebody like myself who's gotten a multitude of speeding tickets over the years, if a cop pulls up behind me, or I can see in my rearview mirror that he's pulling up, he pulled out of traffic, and it looks like he's weaving his way towards me, and I'm not the only person that does this, if there's an exit nearby, I will get off that exit because I'm nervous that I'm the reason why he pulled out. Now, how is that not the same thing as being nervous when you see a police officer? You're somebody that has been arrested before, and even though you know that you're not breaking the law at that moment, you're still nervous, right? And you're trying to get away from them. Pulling off the interstate at an exit that you have no reason to get off of at 55 miles an hour is the same thing as running from the cops. Now, you may not be speeding. You are taking steps to evade the police, even though you know that you haven't done anything wrong. And anybody that says that they don't do that is not being honest. So Freddie Gray, he's a black guy in Baltimore. You've been in trouble with the law before. You have a knife in your pocket that you know deep down is legal, but yet you are worried that the police are going to think that it's illegal. But you don't want to be accused of having a knife that isn't legal, right? So you're scared. Now, I don't know. I can't put myself in his shoes. I don't know if I would have just run automatically, but I would have been looking to get away from the police at that point because all these things are going through your head, right? So you're on the interstate and you're driving a red car, right? So you know you're driving a red car. You know you have a history of speeding. You know you have a history of tickets. And say there's something else wrong with your car that's not that big of a deal. Like say, like for instance, I just had my plates renewed and I have the sticker, right? And I needed to put the sticker on before April 1st because it expired at the end of March. But I forgot to put it on, right? Now, not having the sticker is not that big of a deal because the plates are legal. But you're adding this on to, this is all cumulative, right? So I'm driving a red car. I have a history of being pulled over. I have a history of tickets. And I know that there's something wrong with my car. Even though it's not that big of a deal, I know there's something wrong with it. I'm getting off the interstate. I'm going to try to evade the police at that point. That's no different than what happened with him and seeing those police officers, okay? And so you can't, it's like I said last week on the show, it's easy for people to sit in the cheap seats in their home, the comfort of their own home, safe and sound in middle America, and pass judgment on what they're seeing on TV and make comments ignorantly. And I can't even empathize, but I'm open-minded, right? And I have an open heart, and I can see, right? I can see where it all comes from, and that's where all these people are hoping that the discussion heads towards. And then you've got also a situation where there are a lot of instances that's coming out now in the Baltimore Police Department of, you know, excessive force. You know what I mean? Now that's not specific to Baltimore, and it's not specific to all police. Like I said before, you got to be fair to the police, too. Not every cop is a bad cop, man. You know what I mean? It's just that, unfortunately, there are bad cops out there, but there's bad everybody out there. You know what I mean? Being a jerk, you know, being a jerk doesn't discriminate. There's a lot of jerks in a lot of professions. You know what I mean? My brother-in-law is a jerk. He's got a PhD, right? Ex-brother-in-law, I should say. You know? There's jerks everywhere, man. That doesn't mean that every guy with a PhD is a jerk, okay? So anyway, that's kind of like my feeling. And that was kind of like how the discussion went, right? I'm not necessarily trying to get somebody to say that my view is the only view that matters, but it's all part of making sure that you're educated about the situation. And the more that you're educated about it, the better of an opinion you're going to have than just off the cuff saying something because you're sitting there watching it from your recliner and calling them thugs and animals and stuff. Like, that's ignorant stuff. You know what I mean? So anyway, another thing I was going to talk about it last week, right? So I co-starred in the True Crimes with Aphrodite Jones, and it was about this murder, this guy, Carl Carlson, who had murdered his wife, murdered his son. I was on the Facebook page for the show. This woman had posted on there, and she was related to this guy's wife that was murdered like 20 years ago. And she was saying how upsetting it was to see the whole thing, right? She was saying how, well, you don't, people don't understand what you feel like when it's your own family, you know? And I said, I get that. I mean, obviously the flip side of that is that you can't just not tell the stories, you know, because obviously it's going to be upsetting to the families in every tragedy. Every tragedy, there's somebody that's going to, they don't want to see it. You know what I mean? They don't want to see it played out over and over again. But my family actually has had a situation like this, right? So this is back in 2007. This is January 2007. So my cousin, most of my cousins are much older than me, but I have one cousin that's fairly close to me in age. He's only about like 5 years older than me. And he has three daughters. Now, it's my cousin David. So David is, he and his wife had three daughters. And they're Jehovah Witness. I think it's more like his wife is Jehovah Witness, and so by default he is. So they have kind of a strict, family orientated upbringing, and like the girls they're not really allowed to date until they're of a certain age, and et cetera, et cetera. Well, what happened was his daughter Jackie, in January 2007, she was going to community college to get her prerequisites so she can go into nursing school. She wanted to be a nurse, and she was like 6 years old, and they're at like a gas station, and her and her sisters are at a gas station one day, and they meet this guy, and he kind of takes an interest in the oldest of the girls. And she had never had a boyfriend before, and the guy, I've seen the pictures of the guy. He was a pretty good-looking dude, And so they exchange numbers. They talk. And 2 weeks later, now, I think that what happened was, they were nervous to tell their parents because – he's kind of from the other side of the tracks type of deal, and so she figures it's going to be a harmless date, okay? So she has her younger sister drop her off at like 2 o'clock in the morning at the same gas station when he got off of work, and they were going to go on a date, and she was going to pick her back up a couple hours later. When the sister went at 4 a.m. to pick the older sister up, she wasn't there, and she was never seen again. And I'm going to finish that story when we come back here in just a second, but it was a big tragedy in the family. This is Kevin Barbaro, and you're listening to Coffee Talk 3.0. With most airlines, the most affordable flights are early morning departures. Getting to the airport at that hour can be problematic or even dangerous. I'm Kevin Barbaro, the host of Coffee Talk 3.0. And listen, don't make your Uncle Ned wake up at 3 a.m. so he can get you to the airport on time and not pay for parking. Call S&G Limo at 516-771-LIMO and have affordable, courteous, safe transportation right to your terminal. S&G Limo has branches and affiliates all over the country and can arrange 24/7 service to all major airports. By calling 516-771-LIMO, you can save time and money. And on your return, S&G Limousine will be there patiently waiting for you on your arrival. No more standing in line for a cab. They'll pick you up at curbside and get you home safely. That's S&G Limo, 516-771-LIMO, 516-771-LIMO, or go to coffeetalkradio.com. Are you tired of gyms and fitness centers that offer only the same boring, mundane options? Are you looking for a new and exciting way to burn fat, gain strength, and improve your flexibility? Then ilovekickboxing.com is the place for you. My name is Kevin Barbaro, and I'm the host of the nationally syndicated radio show Coffee Talk 3.0, and I joined I Love Kickboxing 10 months ago, and it was the best decision I've ever made. In that time, I've lost 30 pounds, I've gained strength and flexibility, and the confidence that I need to move forward in my acting career. I'm nearly 45 years old, and I'm in the best shape of my life thanks to ilovekickboxing.com. Go to ilovekickboxing.com and find the location nearest you. Use the promo code COFFEE and receive 20% off the already low introductory price of $19.99. That's three visits and a pair of gloves. It's 1 hour of your day. It'll change your life forever. Believe me, trust me, I do it myself. ilovekickboxing.com. Welcome back to Coffee Talk 3.0. I'm Kevin Barbaro, and you're listening to Talk Radio Network stations around the country and TalkingAlternative.com. Make sure you go to our website at CoffeeTalkRadio.com, and you'll be able to pick up this and all the previous episodes, as well as finding great deals and discounts from our sponsors. You can also pick up and see coffeetalkradio.com/TV, which is a lot of original programming that's available only on coffeetalkradio.com, like MG in the Bod, which is our webcast that follows the NFL and pro football, or you can check out Gerard Zara's page, where he's got John Dablovsky, TV reality star, or you can check out The Real Life. You know, all these are short movies or web series that are only available at coffeetalkradio.com. Make sure you check those out. So anyway, getting back to the story about my cousin. So she never shows back up. My aunt, so the mother of my cousin David, who this is his daughter, she is a police officer in that county, Maricopa County in Arizona, which is where Tent City is. If you've ever seen on TV, they've got that sheriff, and the county jail is what they call Tent City. He has old tents from like the Korean War, and that's where the prisoners stay out in like 110 degrees. And they got all these rules, like he makes them up at 5 o'clock in the morning. They all have to have their head shaved. They wear the traditional old black and white stripes. They wear pink underwear. He gives them bologna sandwiches for lunch. Like he basically provides them only with what he's required to by law: shelter, food, water. That's it. They end up going to the guy's house. Of course, he denies it. He doesn't know what happened. So they don't have anything to go on at this stage. All they have to go on circumstantially is the fact that he saw her last, and she's a grown adult. So grown adults are allowed to go missing if they want to, right? They kind of figure, well, I wonder if he's dumb enough to throw the weapon away or throw some kind of evidence away nearby. Sure enough, this guy was dumb enough. They find in a dumpster behind a grocery store just down the road from this guy's house the bloody clothes, and they determined that it was her clothes, was her blood, his blood and DNA was mixed in with it. And so, but they didn't have a body. Like about 3 weeks later out in the desert, then a search team on like some dirt bikes or ATVs, you know, they spotted a body, and as it turned out, it was her, and she had been shot two times in the head. That was how she was killed. So he ends up, he's awaiting trial in this jail, which is Tent City, okay? He's already proven that he's pretty dumb, okay, besides being a psychopath. He's already proven he's pretty dumb by throwing away the clothes and the murder weapon right by his house, right? So he concocts this plan that he's going to escape. So this genius figures, well, I'm going to shave a toothpick or toothbrush down into a shank and stab the guards, and I'm going to escape that way on my way to my arraignment. This idiot tells like one of his bunkmates, you know, this grandmaster plan, right? Well, that dude who's a criminal, hello, right? This dude sells him out like right away, so that he can get some time off. So they know that this is what the guy's going to do. So they actually waited for him to get into the vehicle with the shank so that they could, so that they had a reason to, rearrest him for trying to escape. You know what I mean? So what happened was then the sheriff of Tent City, he brought him back to Tent City and he put him up in front of all the prisoners that were there, right? And he said, for 1 month, no toothbrushes. And this is the guy you can thank for it. And so the time that dude was awaiting trial, I'm guessing, wasn't so pleasant, if you know what I'm saying. And so anyway, ultimately, he was found guilty of murder, sexual assault, kidnapping, and some weapons charges. And he is now on death row. In Arizona, awaiting the death penalty. Now, interestingly enough, to make a positive out of something so tragic, my cousin David, who's awesome, he and his wife actually ended up campaigning to the Arizona State Senate. They're from Gilbert, Arizona, to the Arizona State Legislature to enact a warnings, an alert system for an adult, because Arizona didn't have an alert system. They had the Amber Alert, which all states have the Amber Alert now. And of course you have a Silver Alert when an elderly person goes missing, but there's no alert for just a regular person, you know? And so they successfully petitioned Congress and legislature in Arizona, and now there is an alert system for an adult when an adult goes missing. They utilize the same billboards, you know, those same digital boards on the interstate and the texting system and everything else when an adult goes missing, because they didn't have that before. Today, I give a ride to a guy named Rohan Murphy. It's R-O-H-A-N Murphy. If you Google it, really interesting dude. He's a motivational speaker. He's the first double amputee in NCAA sports history. He actually was a wrestler, a three-year letter winner at Penn State University in wrestling. He wrestled Division I, NCAA Division I wrestling, and he was a double amputee. He has neither leg. He has no legs. He only has a torso, upper body, and arms. And he actually, so he had to wrestle able-bodied, you know, NCAA Division I wrestlers, and he ended up with like a 5-15 record over the course of his career at Penn State in the Big Ten. I mean, he's wrestling, you know, guys that are on scholarships at Minnesota and these other schools, and it was a really interesting story, you know, like how when he first went to Penn State, he met with the wrestling coach because he wrestled in high school out on Long Island at East Islip High School. And his senior year went like 26-5 as a wrestler. And both in high school and in college, the first time he ever met the wrestling coach, they offered him the opportunity to be the manager. And he said, I don't want to be the manager, you know. And he said, I want to be on the team. And then his sophomore year was his first year at Penn State on the team. And he got the most improved. And he said he didn't want to get the most improved. He wanted to get the MVP. I mean, the guy, it was such a positive, it was probably the most enlightening positive time that I've had driving anybody besides the guy that was one of the original crewmen of the Intrepid that I had driven like a couple of months ago. And I think I've told that story. If not, I'll tell it next week. But he's actually in a Nike commercial, and he speaks at like middle schools and high schools and colleges all over the country, and just a positive dude, man. He'd fit right in right here, right? That's how we roll here, baby. So anyway, listen, we'll be back with you next week. Make sure you check out the podcast and the archives at coffeetalkradio.com. I'm Kevin Barbaro, and you've been listening to Coffee Talk 3.0 on Talk Radio Network stations and talkingalternative.com.